Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 174. I wish it was 173 so we could say 1E3, but it's not. I know, right?
It does.
Pretty crazy. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brady Noski.
And I'm Austin Morales. And this week on the podcast, Brett plays Totally Accurate Battlegrounds, which is a crazy PUBG-like game that is zany and wonky and all this good stuff. I save my game for next week. And in the gaming news, Sony had some pre-E3 reveals that we talk about, counting down to their E3 conference. Square Enix is using Octopath Traveler to test out the Switch market, and Battalion 1944 player threatened the devs, so they put a dick on his gun. You're definitely going to want to stick around and hear for that. And our discussion topic, we talk about the best and worst of E3, our part one. Part two is coming next week, because there's just so much to talk about, so much to cover. It just can't fit in all one podcast. So without further ado, cue that music.
Hey guys, this is Carolina Rabassa. I do the voice of Sombra. And right now you are listening to The Inner Gamer.
Boop. Hi, this is Charlotte Chung, the voice of D.Va. I play to win, and you're listening to The Inner Gamer podcast. Winky face.
It's Chris Parson here. I'm the voice of Junkrat, and you are listening to The Inner Gamer.
Just remember, it's a perfect day for some mayhem.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Josh Peterzorf. You know me best as Roadhog, the one-man apocalypse. Reminding you, The Inner Gamer, check it out. Amazing podcast. All the guys, class act. One-man apocalypse. Yeah.
Yo, it's Johnny Cruz, and you're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is June 12, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast, and welcome to the week of E3. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon. For as little as $12 a year, you can make this podcast better, and we'll give you some goodies along the way. And if you really like E3 a lot, you should go to youtube.com/theinnergamer, where we're putting out wrap-up videos of every conference, minus PC Gaming Show, because it was really long and we didn't want to put a video in of all that, but everything else is going to be there. So go to our YouTube channel, check it out, subscribe. And also, we have a contest we're running right now, $20 gift card. It ends on Friday, June 15th. All you have to do is go to theinnergamer.net/EP. No, sorry. Let me scratch that. theinnergamer.net/E3 2018. That will give you the instructions you need to fill it out. You get a $20 gift card to either Steam, PS4, or Xbox One. So, all digital, by the way. So, keep that in mind. $20 gift card. Go sign up right now. Do it. Pause this. Pull over the car. Go do it. Okay, now, video games. Are you ready for this, Austin?
Man, it is E3 week. All I've been is swimming in video games, so throw it on me, Brett.
All right.
One more can't kill me.
So we're going to talk about one game this week because there's so much E3 talk. We're just going to make it quick here. I've been playing Totally Accurate Battlegrounds. It is a new Battle Royale game, of course, because there's not enough Battle Royale games in the world of the world. And this game is created by the developers of Cluster Truck, if you've heard of Cluster Truck.
I have.
It has this pixely, like, physics-y, like, you are Play-Doh, Gang Beasts-like movement style. And it is meant to be a parody on the Battle Royale genre. So you start up in the game, and you are on these flying semi-trucks that are moving through the air. And when you launch off of them, you literally launch off of them and you have no parachute, so you just fly through the air until you land on your destination, and you just topple around like a rag doll until you stop, and then you get up and you start foraging for loot. So the menu system is very much like PUBG in that you can get different weapons, you can attach attachments, you can equip sidearms, you can put on a helmet, you can put on chest armor, stuff like that. Not as much armor as PUBG, but it's still really interesting. And they have some really wonky guns. Like, well, they have the pan, but when you slash the pan, you like leap forward as you're slashing it. Or they have a super soaker, like squirt gun you can pick up. Or they have a MAC-10 submachine gun that's got fat stacks attached to the side of it. That is really hilarious.
Fat stacks.
Like
huh?
Literal like $100 bills, just like rubber banded to the side of it. And it made me crack up so much. It was amazing. This game is buggy.
How did you find this game?
It's all over the internet. People have been talking about it. Yeah. So it was free for 100 days or 100 hours. Sorry. 100 hours, it was free. So you just go on there, download it, pick it up. You got it free forever. And then now it's $5 on Steam.
That's a good way of marketing if you think about it.
Yes. So much so they had 3 million downloads before it turned paid.
Man, I bet they're upset.
I know.
But then again, it's one of those things where it's like people might not buy it if they didn't, if a lot of people weren't able to play it first.
Yeah, exactly.
So props on them, man.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a neat game. I had fun. And what was really neat too is like typically the circle moves in, it's just like electric field or whatever. Well, in this one, it's these like giant ass pillars that have this really ominous noise that they move closer to you. And then whenever the like circle is done, it just drops down and makes this loud noise and like dust plumes up around the pillars, and they start slowly closing in to connect each other to make a big, huge, massive ass wall. And then when it starts getting closer and closer to the end, like the circle is smaller and smaller, the sky starts to get darker to where it's almost nighttime. So it's harder to see. Fog starts rolling in. It gets really creepy and weird and chaotic and amazing. So
no zombies.
No zombies. Ah. No. I mean, the players are the zombies, so makes it even better.
So I watched some gameplay of this, and it does look really, really like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's funny to watch. Like everything looks really crazy, like the way you run and stuff. It does look like a lot of fun, but the aiming and the shooting in this game seem like it is just god awful. Like, not that it's like sucky to do it, it's just like hard to do it.
Yeah,
because it looks like your arms are flailing everywhere, and then the people are going like back and forth as they move, and it's like, how do you hit a target?
Yeah, as you're walking, you're like bouncing around a lot, so like aiming down the sights is really hard. But if you stand still, it's like perfect precision accuracy. So that's really nice.
Interesting.
And I like when you're waiting for a game to load, because it's really hard to get in a game because it's like buggy, like PUBG right now. And you can see your character like frozen in midair and like rotate the camera around the character, and the background is explosions and all kinds of stuff happening. And you can customize your character. So you can change your headgear, your torso, your legs and stuff like that, and just all kinds of zany stuff. Like you can wear a chicken hat and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. So
there is cosmetics, or is it just random cosmetics?
It's just random cosmetics. Yeah.
But are they all available?
They're all available. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No payments or anything like that. There's like probably 10 different types of things you can put on each body part.
No microtransactions?
Not yet. I'm sure eventually they'll have it, but maybe not. It's a side project for them. So they make a game called Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. That's like basically Empire Total War, but silly and zany.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm talking about.
So this is their thing that they're doing just as it's fun and jokey.
Man, good for them. Like this is stuff I want to see more of, like these weird side projects that actually can be something worth playing on a regular basis that doesn't cost a lot of money, and they don't expect to make a lot of money off of it. But I mean, good for them for letting it be free for 100 hours, and then now everything's just going to be revenue on top of it.
Right.
Like I wonder how many hours actually they put into this game, because hopefully they didn't put too much, and then they actually make a little bit of money off this on the side. Cause
they might.
It's only like $6 on Steam or something like that.
$4.99.
Yeah. Man, even better.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I'm working on a video right now that's going to come out probably after E3 is over with. So be on the lookout for that. I'll be on our YouTube channel, so you can see some gameplay as well as some really awkward and hilarious dialogue between me and my friend David. So that'll be cool. And I also play Realm Royale, but I'm going to save that for next time.
Cool,
so
cool.
Be prepared for that discussion.
Yeah, I actually played a game too, but I'm going to save it for next time, because we're going to talk about everything E3 right after the news, which is probably going to take up about 45 minutes of this podcast. I don't know. Something like that. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. So that's going to wrap up for the games we played. Very quick segment right there. So stay tuned for our video game news, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our gaming news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the weekend in the gaming industry. And first up, we have pre-E3. Sony was like, we're going to drop 3 trailers because we don't want to spend all that time talking about it during our E3 press conference, which we're about to watch as you're not listening to this. But we are about to watch it, and we're really excited. So it's like the heat of the moment right now.
Yeah.
But when you're listening to this, E3 already happened for Sony. So you know stuff that we don't know.
Prediction for the future, which is currently the present when you're listening to this podcast, I give Sony press conference a 9.
Oh, wow.
It was so good. Yeah.
That'd be the best one you've given so far.
I know.
Yeah. Well, we did predict that there was going to be Death Stranding gameplay. That's so true. We'll see if that
comes. I was amazed by it.
I know. So anyway, so before E3 happened, Sony announced three games. One of them is Twin Mirror from Don't Nod Entertainment, which they're just like blowing it up right now because they just brought out Vampire, and then they're working on, they just announced The Adventures of Captain Spirit at E3. So there's like a lot of stuff they're working on. But Twin Mirror is basically another adventure game like Life is Strange, except it's set in a kind of like Twin Peaks or Alan Wake-esque world, in that there's this guy who's a journalist, or a man who returns to a town after the death of a journalist friend of his and experiences a bunch of supernatural like events. And so it's just a small little town, very story heavy, and it is coming out in 2019 on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And then they also announced a game that is both a regular game and then a VR game called Tetris Effect. And Tetris Effect is produced by the creator, or made by the creators of Lumines and Rez. And this is like a really trippy, psychedelic version of Tetris. We're like flying through space and there's all kinds of flashing lights and visual stimulation.
It looks like a lot of fun. Like for a game that... kind of underwhelming, some of these games, like they're all cool, but I didn't expect them. I expected actually more from these releases, but
I did too.
Regardless, it does look like a lot of fun, and I'd probably play it.
Reminds me of Resogun a little bit, the visual style of Resogun. Yeah. And then they have a exclusively VR game called Ghost Giant, and Ghost Giant is from Zoink Games, best known for Fae and Flipping Death. And in this, you play as a ghost giant, an ethereal titan that's looking after a sapient cat who has moved out to the sticks and is lonely. And this really reminds me of Night in the Woods, because you also played a cat that was lonely that came back to home. You interact with the environment by upending buildings and shaking out whatever's inside them. Doing this with a purpose helps you build your relationship with Louise.
Hey Louise.
I know, right? So this game looks really fun. Like, it's a very kind of cutesy, narrative driven based game with some puzzly aspects, but I like the idea of like seeing a little character down here that you can interact with that reacts back to you directly as a viewer, not a player.
So it's kind of like, I mean, it's more or less your god in a way, but you're just a spirit.
Yeah.
And you're gigantic.
Yep.
And like, we haven't had that where something is interacting with you in the game. So that could, this could be a whole new way to tell a story, which I know it's happened before, but
they had it with like Lucky's Tale a little bit, but they didn't really push the envelope with it. I mean, you could look at your character and he'll like wave at you, but it wasn't like the game mechanic was follow this character and create a relationship with this character.
Right.
So that's really interesting. I will probably get it.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to it. Next story we have, Valve has come out and said that, and this is ironic after all the controversy they've had with that game, the shooter game that just came out, that got pulled and all that different stuff. But Valve says it's now going to allow, quote, everything on Steam unless it's illegal or straight up trolling. So
what does that even mean?
I know.
Obviously, if it's illegal, but like, what is illegal in a video game?
Well, I think illegal, like putting like sexual, well, no, that's not illegal. I don't know. Drug dealing?
Freedom of speech,
man. I don't know, really.
There's drug deals in video games all the time. I mean, this is all rhetorical to you, but I'm just like, how do you define illegal? You know?
Whatever the government says.
Yeah, whatever the government says. Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's illegal in the sense of what you can do in it. Like, maybe, I mean,
no.
Showcasing. I don't know.
Obviously, like, kiddie porn is something you wouldn't have in there, but
selling it to somebody and then maliciously putting viruses on their computer that causes it to take all their data and destroy their computer. That's probably illegal. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Probably illegal.
This is it's very interesting. I mean, I feel like obviously Steam should have some standards in its own business practice, but this is very broad. It's just very broad. It was already broad to begin with, you know. I think you can argue that taking down that school shooter game was not right, because it should be up there for people to digest and then criticize. I don't know. I mean, it is up to Steam. They can do what they want to do, I guess.
Well, they said the response to this was due to the fact that the community has been raging over the removal of games with explicit sexual content, as well as objectionable themes like the glorification of school shooters. In response to this, they decided, let's just open the floodgates, because as Valve's Eric Johnson said, the harsh reality of this space that lies in the roots of our dilemma is that there is absolutely no way we can navigate it without making some of our players really mad. And so as a result of that, they're just going to allow everything but give users the tools to avoid the games they find the most egregious.
So I think maybe they should have their own rating system. Obviously, if it's sexually explicit, they should be on there. It should be like a mature thing. But then they have to have people who are going to curate that stuff and make sure it doesn't get, you know, make sure it meets a certain requirement to be seen by a certain amount of people. And that's a whole other task in itself.
I still think there should be some kind of like system to block it, though, because this is basically like I'm looking the other direction at somebody who's going to murder somebody. Not that violent, but in that same mindset, like that's kind of like the outlook you're looking at it. Like you're not just going to like turn a blind eye to somebody that's, you know, doing something bad to somebody else. So in this case, it's like by doing nothing, it's actually causing worse damage than by taking a stance for something. And that's the issue that Facebook has been running into lately, because or not necessarily Facebook, but a lot of places out there, like there is reason to believe that if you just take a very neutral stance towards stuff, then people don't know where you stand in certain situations and you're going to get everybody mad at you, as opposed to if you stand one direction, like you're going to have like half the people mad at you, but then the other half people won't be mad at you necessarily.
I see both sides, but I don't know which side I'm more leaning on. Hey, you know, let the market figure out what should be there and what shouldn't. Games that have a bad reputation obviously won't get played, and we see that there already is a rating system on there, so it's easy to bury some of these games like almost instantly if you really wanted to. I don't know. I guess we're gonna see what happens going from the future, because this is very interesting. Stay here, we'll keep you up to date to all Steam's stuff.
The creator of itch.io came out, that's a indie game service where you can just like upload games. They came out and said that their policy behind this is ridiculous. In their minds, like keeping malicious, derogatory, discriminatory, bullying, harassing, demeaning content off of itch.io. So they don't think that's a good stance to have, but they're ready to ban whatever comes their way if it's inappropriate or explicit.
It's their site, so they can do what they want.
Yeah. So next story we have is Square Enix has come out and said they're using Octopath Traveler to test the Switch market. So they're releasing Octopath Traveler, which is a much simpler game, something they put together a little bit quicker than most, even though it's still a very beautiful, gorgeous game. But they're saying that if it does well, this is something that appeals to fans. They want to keep focusing on the Switch. So if you want games like Octopath Traveler, you should go and pick them up, because they'll make more of these games. And they also said that they do want to focus on original titles for the Switch. So, there are several titles in the works. The more you let them know that you like it, the more they're going to make it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know at least two of us on this podcast are going to buy it. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm totally buying it. I love that game, cool. Man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I had a blast playing the demo.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. Last story we have is Battalion 1944. I reviewed this on the podcast several episodes ago, and recently there was a player that plays competitively that goes by the name of Suspect with a 7 at the end, and he made a joking threat about Bulkhead Interactive. And in this joking threat, basically what was happening was there was a tournament that was going on, and there was a selection of unique skins that were going to the winners of the esports organization Endpoint. The skins were slow in coming and apparently still haven't been delivered, leading one of the team members to complain about the situation on Discord, a complaint that included a threat to shoot up the studio, complete with a reference to the April shooting at YouTube. So he then later on told The Verge that obviously I was just trying to be funny and shouldn't have used the YouTube shooting as an example of that. He was just using it as a joke and it got blown out of proportion.
You don't make that as a joke and it just gets blown out of proportion. You make that as a joke and you know that that's going to be taken as a real threat, especially nowadays. Like, how you be like, oh, they got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Ollie said I was going to go and murder everyone at a studio.
Well, so Bulkhead responded in a way that's very clever for a game development company, in that they sent him a message and said, so a few months ago, I think you remember, you threatened, what if we didn't get your skins to you, you'd ship the studio. And they went on and on to basically talk about, like, it's disappointing to see one of the best players get angry at us, basically. One of the winners take this attitude towards the developers. We're not faceless Valve-esque studio. We're not a faceless Valve-esque studio.
Burn the Valve.
We choose to remain silent
yes.
for reasons like this. We chose to expose our personal lives and show players that we're people who care about games. So what they decided to do is that the this is the creator, I think it's a creator of the game, he's the studio head, he said, I myself had decided to draw a dick on the bottom of your Thompson Golden skin. People won't really see it, but we'll know it's there, and I wanted to have a friendly joke with you. We're gamers too, we find things funny too. Don't think just because we aren't a game studio we aren't people. And so every time he logs in to the game, he'll find a little penis drawn on the bottom of his gun skin that he finally got.
So, this is double glorious, because not only did Valve get burned a little bit on this, this guy got super burned.
Super burned.
Yeah.
Literally, man, like, etched into the gun burned.
This is pretty awesome. Like, it's good retaliation to something like this. But obviously, how can you take that out? Like,
I don't know, man. It's messed up.
That's horrible. Next story. All right, no.
Oh, that's it.
Done the
that's,
stories.
That's it for our news, guys. If there's something that we missed, we want to hear from you. Email us at hello@dinnergamer.net, and we'll talk about it next week. And there's a lot of stuff that we did miss, but it's not really missed because it's actually inside of our videos that you can find at youtube.com/dinnergamer with all of the coverage from E3. So you should go check those out because they're really awesome. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, give us a review and rating on iTunes. We'll be back after the break with our discussion topic on even more E3, because we're in E3 week.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back, everybody. This week's discussion is going to be our best and worst of E3 2018. As you are listening to this, it is Tuesday, June 12th, I believe, if my math is correct and faring me well, and I believe it is. So it is June 12th. E3 actually officially kicks off today. So technically, this is a little bit off the money on the title here, but this is the best and worst of the conferences as they've happened thus far. We still have Nintendo, which you'll see today. And if you go to youtube.com/channelgamer, you can watch that video sometime this week. So there's that as well. Probably not right now. But we're going to talk about the best and worst of E3. So E3 has been quite the show this year so far. We've had a ton of new reveals, some unexpected surprises, and some letdowns. But ultimately, it's been a killer year so far. In this part, we're going to cover the first half of E3, or the first little more than half of E3, with our favorite moments from Electronic Arts, Microsoft, Bethesda, Square Enix, Ubisoft, and Sony. Next week, we're going to close it out with our PC gaming show announcements, Nintendo, as well as our favorite things from E3 overall, our most anticipated game of E3 overall, and what could be done differently for the entire show itself. So let's jump straight into it. We're going to do our best and worst of each conference, as well as our predictions. Did we get them right? Did we get them wrong? We don't know, but we're going to find out right now.
We'll find out.
So Electronic Arts, kicking off with everything. Let's go with our best first. Austin, I'm going to let you kick this off. What was your best moment from EA?
It should have been Battlefield, but it wasn't. So I'm going with the next best thing, which is Sea of Solitude, an indie game. It's very intriguing. I dig the color. I dig the style of the graphics, and the story seems very, very interesting. So I'm really excited to dive into that. Very compelling trailer. Yeah, I think that was the best I saw from EA.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was your worst?
My worst was Battlefield.
Bratwurst?
Yeah. That Bratwurst would have been better than the worst.
I know, right?
No, it's just a lack of stuff for Battlefield. You know, we saw the launch on its own little press conference that they streamed live, and then we're expecting to see a lot more. I'm sure at this point they actually showed more gameplay, but we didn't get much more, and maybe there isn't much more to show from Battlefield, which is sad, but I was expecting more. So
there's just like 10 maps and everything, which is really crazy. Yeah. So my worst is also Battlefield, because I was pissed off that a game and franchise, like last year, when 2 years ago when Battlefield 1 came out, I was like, this trailer is badass. And then they showed more stuff leading up to it. And I was like, this is just all badass. This is continually badass. And I can't wait till it comes out.
Bunch of hype.
And then, yeah, a bunch of hype. And this year, I feel like they decided to take that hype away and invest it into a longer gameplay demonstration and video for FIFA, which is weird. And I don't really understand that, but that's what they did. And I'm really sad about that.
And because, a tournament?
Yeah.
Thank God that was at fine, the end.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, thank goodness, because I didn't want to watch it. But I mean, Battlefield is this is such a great, like, this is their origin story, like, game here. This is them going back to where they started this franchise. And for them to only spend 6 minutes talking about it at their E3 press conference, that was pretty messed up. So I wasn't very happy with that. And really, the stuff that we saw wasn't much different than what we already seen. We saw a little bit more gameplay. They barely touched on war stories. And then the next day, they brought out freaking Microsoft and said, you're going to see more at the show. And there was like 2 minutes at the show
There was literally like, no substance to that trailer.
That's
they
some bullshit.
It was like, here's like two extra scenes and not tell you anything else about it.
Yeah. So my best of EA, though, was probably Anthem. I'm cautiously optimistic about Anthem. Very cautious, but optimistic.
Yep.
It is BioWare, so I know they can deliver a good story. The cinematics look really nice. The gameplay looks fun and exciting. I like the leveling system. I like that it looks like a Destiny kind of game, but hopefully it's more engrossing than Destiny. The world
looks not hard to achieve.
Better. Yeah. So that's my best, because there wasn't much best to talk about. They had Anthem, Battlefield, and a bunch of sports games, and then like the indie games, which the indie games were cool. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But as a big title, like, that was the one that stood out for me. So as far as predictions go, so in our last podcast, we talked about predictions regarding Electronic Arts, and that we were going to get a release date for Anthem. And we said spring, Austin said fall, and then now we've confirmed that it's going to be in the spring. I believe it's in March. Wasn't it March that we
said?
So.
I think 2019.
So. So we have that coming out. And then our other prediction was, this was our like holy shit prediction, like throwing out the wall, is that we were going to get a promising Star Wars game. And you know what? We got a quarter of that. We got a, hey, there's a Star Wars game in development. Respawn is here. We're going to talk to Vince Zampella awkwardly, and it exists. All right, bye. Not even a Halo Infinite like opening trailer or anything.
Yeah,
like
at
that.
Least we got a trailer from Halo Infinite.
Yeah. I was like, son of a bitch. Like, really? I don't know.
Wow. It's like last minute. Hey, can you say something?
That probably really was what they did. They probably just said like, oh, hey, shit. Vince, do you mind talking about your game for a second, please? We only have 4 games to talk about.
And we need you.
And 2 of them are the same games we've been releasing for 25 years. Oh,
that's bad. So it's actually February 22nd of next year.
Oh, shit. Okay. So. Oh, that was the day. That's the day that like everything's coming out. February
22nd. Yep. February 22nd.
That's going to be a shitty day.
It is.
It's going to be a great day.
The
but
greatest
shitty day.
Shitty day ever.
Let me see if I have anything on my calendar for that day.
You
Hang
don't.
Tight, everybody.
You
Stay
don't.
Tuned.
You're getting
you're
off.
About to find out.
You're taking off that day. I'm taking off that day. We're just going to buy games. We're going to switch off games. We're going to have a game fest. Lots of beer, lots of pizza. We're just going to sit in a dark room for about 24 freaking hours. And just just game away. How's that sound to you?
Sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the only thing that's the greatest thing in the world.
So moving on to Microsoft. We had the Microsoft press conference. This one was a lot longer. It was about an hour and a half, a little bit more than that. I'm going to start off this one. Awesome.
Go for it,
man. I'm going to take it over.
Yeah.
And my best of this conference, I was going to say Cyberpunk, but I had to refrain because there just wasn't enough of Cyberpunk, I guess. Forza Horizon 4 reveal. I was really pumped about this. I'm not as pumped as I was when I first heard about it, because it reminded me a lot of Test Drive Unlimited, and the more I thought about it, it really isn't as much like what I wanted it to be. But I do think that it has a lot of promise. It's a huge game, massive open world, changing seasons that change the dynamic nature of the world, which is really cool and intriguing. And you can just like meet up with people and buddy up and like go race and do stuff. So I really like that. And it's coming out this year, which is also really cool. So I'm looking forward to playing that.
I'm actually excited for it too.
Yeah.
I might just get it, Brett.
You should.
I might.
I'm going to convert you into a racing game fan yet. Mm. It'll happen.
I've always kind of been. I mean, I played the Need for Speed Undergrounds. They were really fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And this is arcadey, so yeah, it has the same kind of vibe a little bit. Yeah, you can customize your car. Your best?
My best was Dying Light 2. Initially, Dying Light 1 was if you watch our wrap-up video for Microsoft, Dying Light 1 was like Dead Island 2.0. So, not awesome. Mixed reviews. This one seems like it's going to be a little more dynamic and a lot more polished. It's in a new setting, new characters, same great, the same things that made the first one great, but obviously more polished. So that's what I'm excited
Much
for.
Better.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it looked really cool. Mm-hmm. But looking back, now that I've seen all these other games, it kind of has faded in the darkness.
Yeah, but it is.
That's just how every E3 is, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. See, they try to hook you early on, but then if you can really hammer it in the end.
PlayStation's got a really good spot because it's just like they wait till the very end. And Nintendo, like, you're always going to remember Nintendo stuff. Oh, so it's like they're in a whole nother world. But poor Microsoft and poor EA. Well, not poor EA. Never mind.
Whatever.
My least favorite thing about the conference was Halo Infinite. I went back and forth about this, but I said Halo Infinite because they gave us some cool looking graphics of a thing, and then they showed some soldiers, and they showed a warthog, and then they showed a guy that had a helmet that looked like Master Chief's helmet, and it was Master Chief's helmet, and it was like Halo Infinite, the end.
What is it? You don't know. Yeah.
So like, whereas after having seen all the other demonstrations and trailers and stuff like that, even the Elder Scrolls one, like, and the Starfield, like, those were also title trailers. But everything else that they revealed from that studio, that publisher, was awesome, to where when we got to the end, then I saw those, I was just like, that just, like, adds a cherry on top, you know?
Right.
This was opening it up with, like, hey, there's a Halo. Now let's see all this other stuff. And then by the end of it, I was like, there was a thing at the beginning? I don't remember. But somebody said that those Halo rings are kind of like Stonehenge. So this could be like going way back into ancient times of the Halo story, like a prequel, far back prequel.
With Master Chief?
Yes.
Before he existed?
No, like a skinnier Master Chief, like when he was super young and he was like just going to like the one of the first like Halo regions where like the ruins were there, but this is like one of the first sets of them. So this might be before Combat Evolved or something.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah. That was just a theory that I heard about online.
Well, so that'd be cool, but we'll know.
Yeah.
Because they didn't say anything.
Because there was dinosaurs, rhinos.
Whatever.
Anyway.
It wasn't.
What was your worst? Rhinos.
Overall, for me, was the overall conference. It was I was pumped for a few games, you know? Like, it was a pretty decent conference overall for E3 and for Microsoft. But I just wasn't hyped. Like, there wasn't anything, like, as you'll come to find out, if you watch our Sony wrap up later today, probably coming this evening, depending on when you listen to this episode, so much hype, but that didn't exist. It was a barren hype land for Microsoft.
Yep, definitely. All right, so next up we have Bethesda. Bethesda, we're going to have our best and worst here. Bethesda, my best was...
Oh, wait, we didn't do predictions.
Oh, yeah, predictions. Let's go back to predictions. So, Microsoft predictions. So, we had the one that we were pretty sure about, Heavy Hitter, knew it was going to come, Gears of War 3. We said there was going to be three games. There was three games.
Got three games.
It was all right. That was there. And didn't expect the Funko Pop one. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Also didn't expect the XCOM one, but I'm kind of excited about the XCOM one. That's kind of a cool twist on the Gears franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And Gears 5, I'm really intrigued by the fact that you have a girl character and she's not like Marcus Fenix anymore. Mm. And it's a different type of story to be told. So
Marcus Fenix is taking like a backseat.
And then our far out prediction that ended up being accurate was we saw Cyberpunk in the Xbox conference. They did finally reveal a Cyberpunk trailer after so many years. And what I also thought was really cool about that was at the very, 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 very tail end, for one split frame, was a message from the developers that was talking about, hey, we know we've been quiet, we've been dark, but we want to wait until the right moment to have the right reveal So here it is. Here's the things about the game. There's going to be no microtransactions. You're going to have all these, like, it's just going to be a grounded story game. It's going to be awesome, and it's going to come out when it's ready.
It's just funny that everyone is literally touching on microtransactions saying, yeah, we're not having any. It's not here. It doesn't exist. What is that? We don't know.
Yep.
It's funny. It's awesome. Funny. Still, like, still pumped, but no hype, but that is what we want it to be.
Is that your negative? Oh, I know the no, no, no. prediction. So yeah, your prediction was what?
It was going to be kind of like a Norse style game, but I guess in the same realm as like, or the same.
I think it's got some aspects to it, but it's not quite that much. No, yeah, it's not to that it's level. Not.
No, Deus Ex is like full on noir.
Yeah, yeah, this for sure. All right, so moving on, Bethesda. We have Brett's best of Bethesda. It is Rage 2. I would say Fallout 76, but I'm not, because Rage 2 I'm more hyped about, because I know more confidence that it's going to be awesome, and it looks just like a badass shoot 'em up, like go crazy and balls to the wall. Let's just explode a bunch of shit. And that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Happy about that.
Yep.
And there's more color, and you can drive cars. And you can chain things together and blow stuff up.
So my best was going to be Fallout 76, but new info has come to light, which I guess a reveal here. I thought there was going to be like a traditional single player NPCs give you quests and stuff, but apparently there are no NPCs in this game, or there's going to be a lack of NPCs that will give you quests. That is, for me, a huge issue, because it really takes away from what Fallout is, and it becomes just a giant, massive, open-world multiplayer game, and that's not cool. So, I am now hyped for Rage 2, because that looks like a pretty solid game. You know what you're getting. It's going to be a single-player. It's going to have a story of some kind, and then you're just going to go around and kill a bunch of people the best way possible in crazy ways. So, awesome.
Things that get us excited.
I know, right? I know.
It's like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give me a bunch of stuff to blow up and I'll be happy. I'll be happy.
Right. What's your worst?
My worst is not a terrible worst, but basically I think the it started off really strong at the Bethesda conference, but then the middle points before we got to Bethesda Game Studios with Fallout 76 was kind of weak. They just kind of ran through a bunch of updates with various things. I mean, there was some good stuff there with like Youngblood being announced and some new VR stuff. And then, yeah, new Prey DLC, Typhon Hunter. But all that stuff I felt like could have been dropped as trailers or just like blog posts and things, and it would have been fine and people would have known about it and would have heard about it and everything was dandy. But instead they kind of spent like a good chunk of like 35, 40 minutes on this stuff. And I feel
some
like they could
cleaning.
Have... Yeah, which is fine. I mean, it's press briefing. They got to let everybody know about their entire portfolio. But I feel like it ran a little bit too long. So, your worst, Austin.
That was a good one, though. That's a good worst. Mine was, I thought we were going to see a little more on Starfield. Maybe not much more. Obviously, we just got a teaser to the title, but or a title teaser. I thought we might get a sense of who we are or where we're going, or like the whole base of the game. Like, you're this guy who's going to be traveling space to find out this or discover that and do this and that. And then that's it. Like, that would have been cool. Like, if we didn't get any more than like who we are and what we're trying to do, I would have been happy with that. Like, I didn't need a full reveal or anything, but I assume this is my prediction for next year that they're holding off to release a bunch of stuff next year and then be like, boom, it's out.
Yeah, this will probably be their big title for
2019. Yeah. Fall 2019.
Unless, well, no, there is no unless. That'll be it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that. So about relating that to the predictions, actually, our off-the-wall prediction actually was that they were going to reveal their upcoming sci-fi adventure game, which was codenamed Starfield, which is now actually called Starfield. And so that was right. So that was cool. And something that did shock me was that I kind of didn't expect it to come out, but I thought it was interesting that they did just like say, hey, these two things exist. We just want you to know they exist, get it out of the way just so that you can stop speculating, and then like lay it at that. So that was cool to, I mean, at least see it. But yeah, I do wish there was a little bit more on Starfield specifically. I do like that logo though. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. It says Starfield and they connected the T and the F to make like the sphere.
Yeah.
That was pretty clever.
Made a field.
So made a field.
I don't know.
It was a planet, man. It's a circle.
Whatever.
Planets are a circle. Fields are planes.
Star field. So they made a star.
No, they made a planet. Because it's a circle.
The star is a circle too.
No, star is like a beam of light.
No.
It's not like a it's not a physical object.
It's just what you see.
It's like a
What is the sun?
The sun's not a planet either. But it's not
a
planet.
It's a star.
Yeah, but it's not a planet.
No,
Has a surface on it.
I know.
Yeah.
But they're both circles.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're not
star
they're
I'm going
slightly
from the name.
Circular shapes.
Why are we arguing about this?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm just giving you details, man.
I know. I understand.
I'm just telling you the definition of all circle. Right. Circle's not a square.
So
we
were predicting a Fallout 76.
I'm a square.
Okay. You are a square.
You're a triangle.
What?
I don't know. That was one of the predictions.
Okay.
The other prediction was
Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't really a prediction. It was just like, we know it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Here it's coming.
Well, yeah, we got the trailer.
But we
said
we were hoping it was going to be story-based co-op RPG. Instead, it's a fully online multiplayer survival Rust game.
With no battle royale and with no tower defense. So,
yeah, basically.
I was wrong.
You were wrong on all fronts.
I was just speculating.
All right, next up, we got Square Enix. Brett's best was the Just Cause 4 dynamic weather system, which is sad to say that that's my best.
Very specific, but you were pretty pumped about that.
Dude, freaking tornadoes and sandstorms. Hell yeah. I'm going to send every freaking truck I can into that sandstorm to see like, woo, 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 explosions. And then I'm going to bring up my Rage 2 stuff. And
I'm
just
like laughing my ass off over here because I'm going to watch Brett play this, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
I'm going to stream this.
Hey, look at these trucks. Woo, 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 woo. Watch. This is going to have so much fun.
Yep. Austin, yours.
Yes.
Square Enix.
So mine was Octopath Traveler. They didn't really show too much, but I'm really excited about it.
We already know about it. What are you talking about?
No, I
know about it. I'm just
kidding. This is the only thing I could be excited about it
for this
conference, for Square Enix conference. Like, super pumped. We already know a lot about it, but yeah, there it is.
You're not pumped about Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
No. Should I go into that?
Yeah.
Okay. What I wasn't pumped for was Shadow of the Tomb Raider. All it did was show us some gameplay that was lacking any dialogue from Lara, and it lacked... They showed a trailer, but they still didn't show the dynamic.
They showed them crashing an airplane like they do in Far Cry 5.
That was just awful. There's no... They lack the story that I expect to see, and I was expecting to see something as dynamic and intense...
As every trailer
gripping
that PlayStation reveals.
As God of War, where they really dug into those characters and what they desire, where they're going, and like...
Or The Last of Us 2.
There's no depth. Yes. That was not...
Or Death Stranding.
In this trailer. And it should have been, because this is the point where Lara Croft becomes... The Tomb Raider we all know and love. Like, this is her defining moment, and I did not see any of that in this trailer. Upset.
You should go play Rage right now, but you can't.
I would, so and I would
sucks.
Kill lots of things.
My weak point of this was just that it was a weak presentation overall. Like, it was a trailer reel of stuff that should not have been a press conference. It should have just been, hey, we have these 15 trailers to watch. Go watch them. The end. Goodbye. So, thanks, Square Enix. Otherwise, I mean, there's still good stuff coming out. I mean, like, Kingdom Hearts 3, obviously, being published by them. That's exciting. Just Cause 4 looks really great. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, to each their own. Octopath Traveler looks cool. So, there's good stuff, but I just feel like they didn't need a press conference for what they did. So, there we go. Ubisoft really definitely like changed the game with this one. It was a really good conference. Like, they did some good stuff. Their games are like zany and crazy and over the top. And my best was, oh wait, hang on. Square Enix predictions, going back real fast. Did we have predictions? No, we did not. Okay, moving on. Ubisoft Skull and Bones gameplay. That's what I was excited to see. I wanted to see some Skull and Bones gameplay, and we got to see a boatload of gameplay where you show up in your ship and you're customizing your ship and you head out onto the high seas and the seas look amazing and you start rolling up on bad guys and you pop them with cannons and cannon fire and explosions and crash into them and it looks awesome.
Wait, technically, they already showed that, but...
No, they never showed any of that.
No.
No, they haven't ever shown any gameplay.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought they did.
No.
I had a sense of all of that before this I even
the,
saw it.
This is the first gameplay trailer we've ever seen for this game.
My bad.
No.
My bad.
They showed a cinematic trailer that showed like the high seas and the boats rolling through. It was, but it was all cinematic. It wasn't like, hey, here's what you can do in this game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So people actually thought when they saw the trailer, it was a Sea of Thieves killer. And then afterwards, they found out that, no, you don't actually, you aren't one of those people on that ship. They found out that you are the ship, and that's
but if I had to pick a pirate game between Sea of Thieves or this game, Skull
you
and
pick
Bones.
Kingdom Hearts.
I pick Skull and Bones, Brett. Okay.
Okay.
No, so my biggest one was Division 2. The other one was very lackluster and had a lot of issues with it, and in-game was non-existent. But this seems like it's more has been well polished, well rounded, a lot more content, a lot more unique places to go. The story seems like it's actually complete and makes sense within the world that it's supposed to be set in. And I'm pretty jazzed about it. I'm not gonna lie. I might actually get this. So I, they had a beta, didn't they?
Yeah, we signed up for it.
Okay.
Both of
I can remember they had so many betas. I don't know which ones are.
We signed up for the that beta
Skull
and
Bones.
We signed up for Skull and Bones afterwards. Yeah.
So hopefully they really bring their A game. They learned a lot from the last one. And they're going to have the 8-man raids, which is pretty awesome. And they have free DLC. That is big. But there is probably going to be microtransactions for like cosmetics and stuff, most likely, since everyone's rolling on that train.
Right in that train.
Yep. Yep. Brett, well, we both were not excited for this.
All right, so...
What did they lack?
During our predictions episode, we predicted that there would be a Splinter Cell, and we also predicted that Splinter Cell, or at least I predicted, that that Splinter Cell would come out this fall, and that that would change the game and blow everybody's mind, and would have been amazing. And there was absolutely no Sam Fisher at that conference, and I was very sad about that, because I really wanted a... true to form, go back to... I really want them... Okay, so here's the thing I did not like about Ubisoft, is that of all the things that they put in the Ubisoft conference, like all these epic things to show off, there was not one like just interesting action-adventure single-player game other than Beyond Good and Evil 2, which you don't... I don't really know what the gameplay is like yet. I mean, they showed a little bit, but so it is kind of action-adventure, I guess. Honestly, but there was like one. That was it. There wasn't much else otherwise. It was mostly like online multiplayer stuff. So I really wanted to see a Splinter Cell-like game to bring that kind of full circle. So
yeah. We all wanted to see that. Just didn't get it. Just didn't get it.
So prediction-wise, again, we predicted Splinter Cell. Did not get that, but that's okay. I will forgive them this time. We did say that Assassin's Creed Odyssey would come out. And that'll be set in ancient Greece. And that happened. And I think we also said it would come out this year. And it is. It's coming out in November. So that's right around the corner. So that's pretty crazy. But it is not made by the same studio. So now I feel better about it because it's made by a different studio than Assassin's Creed Origins. So they worked on them simultaneously. And that's why they were able to release them 1 year after the other. Next, last but not least, we have what may be the best press conference of the entire E3 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, and the list goes on. Brett says his best was, Spider-Man. Spider-Man was
really
cool.
Why would you not want to say that?
I don't know. Like, I just, it just hurts me because, like, there's just so many good things. It's so hard to decide.
It is very hard.
But for me, like, because I don't have any relationship yet to The Last of Us, and I don't have any relationship yet really to a Hideo Kojima game, like, other than the fact that this trailer just looks bonkers, batshit crazy. And then,
and awesome.
I know that Ghost of Tsushima is going to be good, and I loved Infamous, but, like, this melee combat thing I could really like. It could be, like, old Assassin's Creed, or it could be really Dark Souls like.
For I mean, like Spider-Man?
That. Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So all those things have like things about them that I'm unsure about. So that's why I went with Spider-Man. Because I know I'm just going to like webbing around and going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a tie. It was a hard tie. I think one rides. Okay.
You have to pick one.
No,
you
can't tie anyone. I'm tying this shit. This is tied because we're both very impressive. First one. Well, I'll go in order. So the first one that was revealed was Ghost of Tsushima. Got a gameplay trailer. It was freaking amazing. Got to see combat. Got to see dueling. Got to see grappling. And we got to see some semblance of a story. And it's basically Samurai The Witcher 3. Fucking awesome. But what also was just as impressive is that they have the Resident Evil 2 remake. That's correct. Remake. Now to get... This is probably... This is the conference that me and Brett are both most hype about. So don't forget to go over this evening, Tuesday, June 12th, and check out our Sony wrap-up. Because we get pretty pumped, pretty psyched about it all.
Do we?
We do.
All right.
They hope we do. They'll find out. Don't worry. All right. So, Brett, what was your worst moment of Sony?
More cowbell. Now, let me explain this a little bit.
Yeah, I don't get this.
Anybody know the old Saturday Night Live skit where Will Ferrell comes out and he's like saying more cowbell and he's playing the cowbell and like they're trying to like do like a jam session and he's just like, no, we just need more cowbell. So in this showcase, we had a banjo player to kick off the conference. We had a guy playing a wooden flute that played some music and then there was no cowbell. So I just want more cowbell. And that's just my silly... I have no negatives about this conference other than maybe the bad audio for like a brief second in the beginning. But yeah, more cowbell. That's it. What's yours? Okay.
Your cowbell thing is the worst thing about Sony.
But it's not Sony.
It is now, man. Okay, no. So my worst thing was, what the hell was Death Stranding? I fucking love the trailer. I fucking love everything that... Hideo Kojima puts out, but god dang, do I not know what that is about. What it was just basically a backpack walking simulator and you get a baby and you get some cutscenes and we got revealed new actors, new stars in this game, but we still have no idea what we're doing. Like what is happening in this thing?
At least now we know a little bit of the gameplay mechanics. Like you have to hide, you have to walk, and you have to crawl. And then you have to avoid the black smoke monsters because they will consume you and kill you. So there's that. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's funny though. But I mean, I was still pumped about the trailer. Like, it was really awesome. The visuals were just stunning. But it is fucking weird. It's so freaking weird. But that's Hideo Kojima. So props off to him. And it's looking a lot more complete now, which I'm happy to hear.
Yes, yes. So super pumped for it still, and I want to
probably get it next year, which I'm excited about. As far as predictions go, Sony, we said we would see Ghost of Tsushima gameplay, and we saw Ghost of Tsushima gameplay. We also said that we would see Death Stranding gameplay, and we saw Death Stranding gameplay.
Two for two.
Two for two. So basically, we predicted everything, so we're awesome.
Give us an award.
Yeah.
E3.
Give us an award. Yeah, that's it. That's going to wrap up our... wait, Austin, you got someone else? No?
No.
I thought you were about to be like, oh, wait, there's this. There's more. One more thing. Just kidding.
I will tell everyone a small tidbit.
Okay.
This is all being recorded on day 3 of E3.
We've been recording a lot of audio. We've been talking a lot.
We started at... this all started around 12, and now it's finally ending around, 12.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Well, it's about to be 12 p.m.
Yeah, well, we start at 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get back to 1. Well, okay. I guess you got here at 12, maybe. I don't know.
No, I got here at 1, but
okay.
I was just saying. Okay, so
11 hours. Jeez. Yesterday was like 13 or 14 hours, though.
Jeez.
Yesterday was long.
Yep. Shout out to Joe X, who has been editing all of our videos. So if you can, go to the comments of our videos on YouTube for E3 and tell her how much you enjoy her editing. She put memes, she put little characters out there, she edited in all the gameplay footage from E3, and let me tell you, those videos are pretty freaking amazing.
They are very good. Very happy with them.
Yes. She's
better than Austin.
You can't see my face, but it's not happy. There would be a meme right now on my face if Joe was editing a video of this. By the way, those who are listening to this discussion topic, we are not having a video this week because we've put out what is it, like 8 videos
we're
at this
about
point?
To have probably 7 videos that will be online.
Yes,
maybe it will be 8 because I got my other video that I'm working on, so there's gonna be a lot of video content, so we're not doing a video of this discussion. Yeah. So if you're listening to audio, lucky you, this is the only place you can listen to this discussion. So you should feel special right now.
You are pat all yourself on the back,
but don't do it if you're driving because that'd be dangerous.
Yep.
So that's going to wrap up our discussion topic this week. If there's a topic you want to hear us talk about, please let us know at hello@theinnergamer.net. Don't forget to check out our E3 clips at youtube.com/theinnergamer. They're not clips, they're full freaking episodes. They're badass. So check those out, youtube.com/theinnergamer. And if you donate to us, you can get every week full video discussions of this podcast, except for this week. So you should go over there, hit the donate button, press the $3 mark, donate $3 a month or more, and you will get some awesome videos every single week delivered to your inbox. So can't go wrong with that.
Edited by Joe X herself.
Yes. Yes. There we go. So thank you guys, and we'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Before we look forward to next week, I want to add one more news story that I forgot to mention earlier.
What?
We forgot to talk about Hitman 2 got announced before E3.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Go ahead. Go, go, go.
So real quick, Hitman 2 got announced and it's coming out. IO Interactive. It releases November 13th, 2018, and it looks awesome. They just like showed a trailer tonight at like this Le Mans race in Miami. Oh, man. It looks so good. Any way you want to attack things, I might.
Okay.
I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Did you play the first one?
No. The episodes one?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Oh, okay.
And this one won't be episodes, so that's going to be interesting. But it looks really nice. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that that exists and it's coming out and it looks really cool. Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have one game because, I mean, who would release something a week after E3 anyway? But on June 15th, we have PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Lego The Incredibles. In this game, you experience the thrilling adventures of the Parr family as they conquer crime and family life through both The Incredibles and Incredibles 2. Lego The Incredibles allows players to explore action-packed story levels in an epic hub world, including Munisaburg and New Urbamar. I'm just making stuff up now. As they use their super abilities to bring the city supervillains to justice, gamers can team up with the family and friends in two-player co-op to assemble incredible Lego. I sound like Austin right now.
Yeah, I know. What's going
on
here?
I'm just like tearing this up right now.
Take it.
Two-player co-op, man. Two-player co-op. There you go.
That's
you can play
good.
Two-player co-op in
right,
Incredibles.
Awesome.
All right. That's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, vlogs, videos, and social channels. Also, go over youtube.com/innergamer and watch all of our E3 content that you definitely want to watch and get caught up with everything you missed at E3. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review at iTunes or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon, which is a way for you, the listeners or viewers, to donate to our cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear, even $1 a month. That's $12 a year. Helps us keep this content coming at you every week and all the big events that happen every year, such as E3. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast or getting some exclusive content along the way. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate. That is click donate. Donate at theinnergamer.net to contribute to the cause. I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Brett Janoski.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. You've been listening to Inner Gamer, and we'll catch y'all next week where we finish up E3 2018. And we're live on the podcast E3, E3 podcast, but we're doing games first, so it doesn't matter about E3 stuff.
It is time
podcast.
For It is time. Podcast. It is time. It is time. It is time.
I'm a Tetris effect your
time.
Ass.
The answer is time.
I'm going to make a confession right now. It's E3. We've been going for 3 days, almost nonstop, from about 12 to about 12. That's like 12 hours
That's
each day,
12
man.
12 hours, man.
We've been creating content, okay? We need some fucking money. Donate to this fucking podcast.
So we can bring the message, fuck Nazis, to every platform, okay? Thanks, Pete Hines.
Yep.
You're awesome.